Good evening. Just wanted to spend some time tonight for anybody that would desire. The first Sunday of the month on Sunday night, our church has gotten into the habit of not having a service. But because of what's going on in this time in our nation, I just wanted to get together with anybody who wanted to. I hope and pray that there's folks that are going to be on from our church. And whoever you are, maybe on YouTube or Facebook or Periscope or Twitter, whoever it might be. But just wanted to talk and share some things because, again, of the days that we're in. The title of what we're going to be looking at is What I Know to Be True About God. Now, you know, that's really something in just saying that. I'd like for you to stop and just ask yourself this question. What do you really know to be true about God? Not just what you heard a teacher say, or what you even heard a preacher say, or an evangelist. But what do you know, primarily based on God's Word, and then as you have seen God work in your life? Last year, my wife and I were out on vacation, and I was reading Paul Chappell's book entitled The Burden Bearer. Excellent book. And in that book, The Burden Bearer, there is quoted the verse that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's verse 9. And I've shared this with my own church before, and just thought I'd just do it with you as well. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 says this, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Now that was the Lord speaking to Paul after Paul had gone to the Lord and three times asked him to take away this thorn in the flesh. And he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Now, that's a fascinating statement. He said, "My grace is sufficient." Not might be or will be or if you deserve it or if you pray hard enough. No, as a born-again Christian, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. And He gave you saving grace. There's going to come a time when we depart from this world, whenever it might be, He will give dying grace. But the fact of the matter is, the God of heaven gives grace daily. And the grace that He gives, He says, is sufficient. In other words, God is more than enough. You might put it this way. His grace is in the present tense, for when your present is tense, or difficult, or hard, or trying, or any other situation you might find. Now, we're in a situation right now in our nation that is really something. I don't know what the future holds, but like the song says, I know who holds the future. And I praise God for that. I invite you to just sit down, take your Bible if you would, or not only with your Bible, but maybe take some notes. In fact, the notes that I'm going to be sharing, I'm going to give opportunity at the end of the broadcast for you to email. And I can email you this material that I'm going to be using and even some other things that maybe if you have felt a little stressed out, maybe if it's been a little anxious for you, believe me, I've been there. If I'm not careful, if I'm not prayerful, if I'm not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I can get there. And so can a lot of other people, and they might not admit it. You know, David, the psalmist, in Psalm 138, wrote this, "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth." Now listen to this. "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." You know, when it comes to the revelation that our God has given us, mankind, it's important. He holds it up there, and he desires for us to listen. Now, the Bible is there to be read and believed by anyone. There are people that are critical of it, but the critic is the one who will search it out. Who won't do it is the cynic. The cynic that says, "Oh, it's just a bunch of stories." No, it's not. These are accounts of God's interactions with his creation. It is an account that is truly his story and what he desires for mankind. Specifically, salvation from the sin that we brought on ourselves. I wrote this down and just meditating, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to think about this. When we doubt God's word, that word that he holds up so high, when we doubt God's word, it is a sin of the highest order. It is. Basically, what we're doing is we're calling God a liar. That's not good. I forget who I got this from. It might have been a couple of people that I'll mention later on. But when it comes to what God has promised us in his word, wrote down these points. Number one, the Lord is with me at all times. He gives me his strength. His strength. His. Not just helping mine along. He gives me his strength and wisdom to navigate every trial and temptation. And you know, I praise God for that. And I can imagine there might be a few of you watching. You're right there with me. His love and grace and mercy will never, ever fail. How do I know that? He said so, as we'll be seeing. He is ever growing me. And he does that. Ephesians 2:10, Philippians 1:6, it's all there. It's all there. He has a plan for us, and he is growing us in that plan. And then finally, he will keep his promises. And that is something that I am so glad for, that we have in the Word of God the promises that sustain us, that give us hope, because our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he has given them to us. He's told us that. No wonder, again, the psalmist in Psalm 94, verse 19, said this, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." I'm so glad for that. You know, there are times, and I'm sure maybe you've done the same thing. There's times I have read God's word, and I come across a passage, and we're going to be reading some of those tonight. But I've come across a passage that as I have meditate on it. I've sat on it. Sometimes I've crawled to it in tears. And I've been so glad that the God of heaven thinks about us so much that while he's running the universe, he's keeping his promises. Again, and you read so much of this in the Psalms. David wrote in Psalm 42, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him." You know, that's the truth. We're going to praise God. I can imagine when we get to heaven's gate and we stand before him, oh, what it'll be like to recognize that God has kept his promises. But again, I've entitled this, "What I Know to Be True About God." So what do I know? What do you know? Can we just kind of gather together and just kind of put some things out? Don't think about what's going on in America. God has things under control right now. This is an evening where we can meditate on his word. So why don't we pray and let's continue. Let's ask God to do a work in our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open hearts. Lord, whoever it might be on the other side of this webcam, whoever it might be and whatever might be going on in their life, I pray that by your grace you would touch them. It's not by me. It's by thy Spirit. We recognize right now that if it is to be done for eternal things, you must do it. So we renew our trust, our faith, our hope in you. And we pause at this time to look at some scripture and to meditate on thy truth. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I hope and pray that you're ready to go. We're going to be looking again, what I know to be true about God, like Paul said, that I may know him. So the question is, what do I know? There's a man that I have met before, and I've read his material, and I really enjoy it. He wrote this. His name is Jim Berg, and I encourage you to get anything you can by Jim Berg. You can go to sermonaudio.com, and you can read his messages. You can hear his messages, excuse me. But he said this, anything that God has stated as a certainty, we can trust as a promise that he will order his universe according to that statement. Now think about that. Anything that God has stated, whatever he has said in his word that he has placed above his very name, anything, he will order his universe, this place where we live, according to that statement. That's a powerful statement. By the way, I suggest a book that he has put together, God is More Than Enough. I encourage you to get that. You can get that on Amazon. And by the way, there's another book that I would encourage you to get. I have handed out well over 200 of these. God's Promises for Your Every Need. This is the one that is put together by A.L. Gill, 1995. But this has been a blessing to a whole lot. What to do when you're feeling stressed, when you are lukewarm spiritually, in need of courage. And just all it is scripture verses. That's all it is. be a blessing to you. Remember, you know, and again, we've looked at this verse so many times. I love this verse. I love it greatly. Now, we've been going through on Wednesday night in our church, we've been looking at the Faith Hall of Fame, but not so much looking at them, but looking at their view of God. And I love this statement that Paul wrote, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's a statement in itself we ought to meditate on. For he that cometh to God must believe, first of all, that he is. But look at this next statement. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now stop and contemplate that. Could you imagine investing money where you were guaranteed, and I know there's been people out there, you know, hey, you come here and we'll make you all kinds of money. This is God's word talking. But can you imagine going to a place and they say, listen, we can guarantee you that your money will grow 40% a year for the rest of your life. You invest in this. You think you would hesitate? If you knew it, they guaranteed it. They promised you. And they had good character. Let me ask you, does God have good character? I should hope so. So look at it again. And that he is guaranteed. That's a promise. And he has built his universe around that promise. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let me ask you, if the Holy Spirit was able to take that scripture and able to bring you to absolute faith in there, and it should, would you say, you know what, that's worth my time, that's worth my effort? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, what's the reward? Are you kidding? The Apostle Paul said that I may know him. He wanted to know him. Can you imagine having such a personal relationship with the God of the universe? We have it. We just need to see it blossom. We need to see it grow. So I just want to leave you with that thought. Now, speaking of Jim Berg, he had notes, and in fact, I think this might have some of this in that book, that God is more than enough. I want to give you some things that have been a blessing to me. And again, this is basically from Jim Berg, the author Jim Berg. I've kind of tweaked some things a little bit, but more or less from him. But I wanted to share this with you because I hope and pray that it really speaks to you in a great way. God is always good. Always. Now, we can say that, but if we really believe it, then there are ramifications, and they are good ramifications. There's ramifications because of that. For instance, if he's always good, that means he will always meet my genuine needs. Always. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, when we get into the word and remember, the entrance of thy word giveth light, the psalmist said. If he means this, and he does, he is God. Then we can look and we can understand that he will always meet our genuine need based on the words of God that we're hearing. Matthew 6, remember what the Lord said, and I'm going to be Faith Baptist, Lord willing, here in the very near future. I'm going to be doing some work out of the Sermon on the Mount. But listen to Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Do you remember when this so-called virus, this emergency started up, and all of a sudden people are going after food and toilet paper? And I mean, it's like, if we don't, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I think we came through okay. Jesus is telling us, the God of heaven, the Savior that died for us, take no thought. Don't worry about it. Why? Because my God shall supply all your need. Listen, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, the psalmist told us in Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. One more verse I want to leave you with in this. John 14:27. Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, there's times, like I said earlier, if I'm not focused on my God and Savior, I get anxious. Just like Peter got out of the boat, had his eyes on the Lord, he's doing great. Took his eyes off the Lord, put them on the water, sinking like a rock. And yet, God was merciful. You know, I'm so glad God is merciful. By the way, that's another promise. That's another promise. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here's another one. If God is always good, that means his grace is always sufficient. Always. How do we know? 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not money that's going to carry us through. It's not the promises of government that are going to carry us through. It's the promises of God. And he brings his grace that saved us. And he says, that grace from me will always be sufficient. Paul wrote in the first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now remember, Paul was a very learned man. He had grown up at the feet of Gamaliel. He learned much. He was an expert at the Jews' religion. But now in Christ, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You know, God's given us a lot of grace. He's given us every bit of grace that we need. Here's a good question. What have we done with that grace? You know, for us it is. It's a good question. Have we wasted that grace? Have we trivialized it on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and even gotten to the point of praying and asking God for grace as we seek to be involved in the things of this world that he said we ought not to love in the first place, because we are citizens of heaven. Something to think about. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, we are reminded the sufficiency of grace. Remember, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul went on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why, Paul? Have you given up? Have you just surrendered to pain? No. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In fact, he went beyond that. And he said, therefore, I take pleasure. Now, I don't like hurting. Pain hurts. But he says, when it comes to the difficulties, the infirmities, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions even, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, there's a good question that we could sure stop and ask ourselves here. If things go south for Christians, which ultimately they will, even here in America, if things go south, will we take pleasure in that? Or will we become bitter? I ask myself that question. We desire, I hope and pray, to be a testimony of his grace, because his grace is sufficient. But will I rejoice, will I take pleasure in the difficulties, in the trials, in the tribulations that we will have? You know, that's a good question for us. But Paul said, listen, 21st century Christian, this is what I found. When I am weak, then am I strong. God is always good? Well, you know what? That means this. He always gives us the victory. Always. 2 Corinthians, once again, chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God. Listen to this. Listen to this. Is Paul lying when he says this? Which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We are succeeding daily in Christ, no matter what the world sees. If we are following him, we've triumphed. If we're trusting him, we're victorious. Now, I tell you, looking at these, it challenges me even as I'm talking to you. Isn't that great? I mean, you know, the world can say what they want. They can go out, they can burn the buildings down. They can say it's for a just cause. We don't have a cause. We have Christ. And I find it, again, so sad that the answer to everything that people are seeking, the answer is found in millions of Bibles that are left closed in homes across America. So sad. And yet for us who are listening to him, oh, praise God, so great. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. We don't earn it. He gives it to us. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe it was Neil Anderson I was listening to, one of his books. And his desire has always been this, that God's people learn what their standing is, truly learn, and he is right, what their standing is in Christ. Part of that is this, the victory that we have in Christ. I mean, you can't help but hear this and think, wait a minute, this is involved in the grace that God has given us? Yes. How do we know? We read it from His Word. This is why, early on, our God told us, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Let's continue. I just read the book of James this morning in my devotions, this Sunday morning. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now listen. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now he goes on to say, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So there's a balance there. But he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And because of that, you can resist the devil, and he will flee. Now look, everything that's going on right now, everything that's going on is because there are people that are believing the lies of the devil. With the world, he has power over them. But for Christians, the only power that he has is his lies. He has no other power over the believer now other than that. Now, can we get a grasp of that? Can we understand that? We don't need to sin. Let me say that again. We don't need to sin. Evangelist Tim Schmidt, our young man in our church, and love him to death, he reminded us this morning that a man that we had this last year at our church for our big men's meeting, Harold Vaughn, said this, you know, you hear people, you know, saying we need to have a day of prayer. Now, you know what? We need to have a day of repentance where Christians come before God and repent of their sins. And he's right. That's exactly it. Because we have been given victory in Jesus, like we sing. And if that can take place, and it has, then we can do this. We can resist the devil. Knowing this, based on God's word, he will flee from us. But do we believe it? You know, when I was 18 years old, along this line, the Lord gave me a life verse. It's Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Aren't you glad for that? Have I always believed it? No. There have been times the doubts just absolutely flew in my mind. But I finally realized that we do have the victory that is in Jesus. John wrote in 1 John 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our efforts. Is that what the Bible says? Even our wealth. No. Even our culture. Uh-uh. Even our faith. You see, it does come back to this. Am I trusting God's word? Remember the word that he holds above his very name? Let's go to another point. God is always good, always. That means, I love this, he is always up to something good in my life. Always. Now I want to ask you something. Do you believe that? I mean, do you honestly, truthfully believe that? Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, our God knows the end from the beginning. He didn't save us so that we could fail. He saved us to be conformed to the image of his Son, he said. I mentioned Ephesians 2:10 before. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 is a verse that we often use when it comes to giving the gospel. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then in verse 10, he says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, before which God hath ordained, before ordained, that we should walk in them." There are three chapters in the New Testament I absolutely love. Romans 6:7-8. And Romans 8 is wonderful. Would you hear this out? Remember, he's up to something good in my life, always. "Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities," he said. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Oh, I'm so glad the Spirit is there doing that. But listen to verse 28. "And we know, we don't hope, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You know, no wonder he went on to say in verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Let's go to another point. "He will always guide my life." He will always guide my life. Always. Psalm 32:8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I'm so glad I've got a God like that. I don't have to stumble into the future. And I'm sure there are people that are watching right now. You bear testimony to how God has guided. I know he's done it for me. I'm so glad for that. Isaiah 58, verse 11. "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." That's our God. I love that. I love that Psalm. Psalm 87:7 at the very end. "All my springs are in thee," the psalmist said. And that's exactly what we have in Christ. I love that. He'll always guide us. In fact, he told the disciples in John 15, verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. But in the going, you'll bring forth fruit, and your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Boy, I'm telling you, I rejoice in God's word, don't you? Let's look again more. God is always good, always. That means his word is sufficient for my help and guidance even. Always. How do we know? Paul told Timothy, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. His word is sufficient. I love this verse. Our daughter Julie, this is one of her favorites, and we've shared it together between ourselves. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And by the way, remember this. In the Bible, hope is not something where it's like, oh, a hope. No. Hope is a sure thing, a very sure thing. God is always good? Yes. And I love this. That means he will always love me personally. Personally. I'll never forget. 20 years ago, I was having a very difficult time. And I went to see a friend of mine, Jim Benny, who was a counselor to pastors and evangelists and missionaries and such. He's counseled well over 1,000 of us. I was having a tough time. I won't go into it. Here at the ministry, it was just hard and it was my fault when it came to what I was thinking. You've got to be careful how you think. And he asked me and he said, Mike, in your heart of hearts, do you believe God loves you? And without hesitation, knowing full well what I was saying, I said, no. You know what he said? 8 out of 10 pastors I asked that question to say the same thing. Do we realize just how deep and how vicious and how ugly and how wretched the spiritual warfare is in this world? I didn't. I didn't recognize what was happening. And believe me, it just didn't heal itself overnight. There was much in the Word of God, before God in prayer, in study, meditation, there was much. And by the way, friend, if you're there or close to it right now, I want to look you in the eye and tell you something right now. Are you listening? God loves you. Yes. How do I know? Because his word says so. Remember, the word that he holds above his very name, he tells us, Romans 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you might ask yourself, brother, how in the world could you preach if you were convinced? I mean, you were convinced that God didn't love you? What about John 3:16? Here's what you tell yourself. God so loved the world, he just doesn't love me. I believed it. And I was saved. I'm still pastoring. It was hard. I have since learned that I'm not the only one. And here in my office, I praise God, I have been able to deal with some others who've been going through some of the same struggles that I did. I'm so glad for God's word. John 17:23, the Lord in his high priestly prayer for us said this, I in them and thou in me, as he prayed to the Father, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now I want you to hear me out. Do you recognize, dear friend, that the Father loves you as much as he loves his Son, Jesus Christ? The Bible says so. Jesus said so. Listen to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I'm so glad that God loves me. I'm so glad I know that. Again, Jesus speaking to the disciples in John 16, For the Father himself loveth you. I'm so glad for that. Because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. You know, there's another verse that doesn't mention his love per se, but oh, it's written all over it, and a very short verse. Maybe you've conned to it so many times. It's 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know why he cares? Because he loves us. You know, it's great. You start getting crawling out of this and realizing just how much God loves you. And when you read 1 John again, oh, it's so precious. 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love, literally what foreign kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I love that. 1 John 4, verse 9, and this was manifested. It was displayed. It was shown to us. It was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We have eternal life. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. Why? Because God so loved the world, and you're in it. You're included. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, the true love, and God in him. We're almost done. God is always good. But there's something else. God is always great. Always. Just a few things and then we're done. That means, number one, he is always in control of all things. There's not a riot. There's not anything. There's not a war that God isn't in control of. He allows mankind to get into these difficult situations, but he's working things, all things, to his glory and our good. Psalm 103, verse 19, one of my favorite psalms. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Isaiah 14, 27, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who? Not if it's from God. Not if it's from God. Oh, I love Isaiah, the great prophet that God used so much to prophesy about his son. In chapter 46, he said this, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's our God. God is always great. That means he is always present with me. He's that big of a God. Psalm 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. There's a verse that many, many people have loved, and I'm one of those. I just put it on Facebook. I split it into four parts because these four parts are such a blessing to read individually. But you take this verse all together, what a blessing. You know, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Before the Lord ascended back into heaven, he told his disciples, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I love that. Christ is in us. He's here. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. He's here. So we can rejoice. One of my favorite passages out of Hebrews is Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Quickly, three more points. Our God is great, and that means he's always the same. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. I love that. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, at the beginning of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 10, Paul wrote, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. I'm so glad I don't have to wake up in the morning, and like those that went after false gods in times of old, wondered, is my God angry with me today? No. My God loves me. Your God loves you. Always. Two more. He's always great. That means he's always trustworthy. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote Timothy, and he said this, you know, Timothy, if we believe not, and that phrase means to betray a trust, if we believe not, yet he, Jesus, abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't not act like himself because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we believe not, he abides faithful. Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I'm so glad for a God like that. Our last point, God is always great. That means he is always wise. Always wise in what he does. Again, going back to the book of Romans in chapter 11, Paul wrote, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. That's our God. He's always good. He's always great. I'm so glad for his word. I'm so glad we live in a country where we can have his word. We need to think about those people where the word is taken away, like in North Korea, in China, in Iran, so many places. They hate his word. Why? Because his word is truth. I hope and pray that you've enjoyed this. If you desire, if you want a copy of these points and the verses, you can email me, email at faithbaptist@sbcglobal.net. And I'll be glad to send you a copy. And if you so desire, I can email you a couple of other things that might be an encouragement to you. You can also check out our church if you so desire, myfbt.org. We'd love to have you join us online. If you have a good Bible preaching church nearby, that's where you need to be. I want to leave you with a quote. A man by the name of Andrew Murray. I want you to grasp this. I love this. It is the faith that continually closes its eyes to the weakness of the creature and finds its joy in the sufficiency of an almighty Savior that makes the soul strong and glad. Now, do you hear that? You see, what you've got to do is right now, you've got to get your eyes off yourself. You've got to think about what we went through, what we looked at, all these verses, that he's trustworthy, that he's good, that he loves us, all these things. And we know it, and we can know him because we learn him in his word. I hope and pray that this has been a blessing. You have a good week. God bless you. We rejoice in God's saving grace, his sustaining grace. You have a good week.